ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're continuing our reading from the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 12th chapter, and today's text is 21. Kalu idam mahat ascharyam yad rajah prakrites tava vasudeve bhagavati sattvatmani tridha matihi kavirang maharashtrayam yad rajak prakrites tava Vasudeve Bhagavati Sattvatmani Dridhamatihi Kavirang Maharashtrayam Yadvarajak Prakritestava Vasudeve Bhagavati Sattvatmani Dridhamatihi Kavirang Maharashtrayam Yadvarajak Prakritestava Vasudeve Bhagavati Sattvatmani Dridhamatihi Please chant. Kavirang Maharashtrayam Yadvarajak Prakritestava Vasudeve Bhagavati Sattvatmani Dridhamatihi Kavirang Maharashtrayam Yadvarajak Prakritestava Kavirang Maharashtrayam Vasudeve Bhagavati Sattvatmani Dridhamatihi Kavirang Maharashtrayam Yadvarajak Prakritestava Vasudeve Bhagavati Sattvatmani Dridhamatihi Kavirang Maharashtrayam Yadvarajak Prakritestava Vasudeve Bhagavati Sattvatmani Dridhamatihi Vaishnavis Kavirang Maharashtrayam Yadvarajak Prakritestava Vasudeve Bhagavati Sattvatmani Dridhamatihi Kavirang Maharashtrayam Yadvarajak Prakritestava Vasudeve Bhagavati Sattvatmani Dridhamatihi Anyone else? Okay, synonyms. Kalu, indeed. Idam, this. Mahat Ascharyam, great wonder. Yat, which. Rajaha, influenced by the mode of passion. Prakitehe, whose nature. Tava, of you. Vasudeve, in Lord Krishna. Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sattva Atmani, who is situated in pure goodness. Dhrida, firm. Matihi, consciousness. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. O Vritrasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who is always situated in pure goodness. Please repeat. O Vritrasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who is always situated in pure goodness. Srila Prabhupada's purport. King Indra wondered how Vritrasura could have been elevated to the position of an exalted devotee. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was initiated by Narada Muni, and therefore it was possible for him to become a great devotee, although he was born in a family of demons. For Vritrasura, however, Indra could not detect such causes. Therefore, he was struck with wonder. He was struck with wonder that Vritrasura was such an exalted devotee that he could fix his mind without deviation upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Vasudeva. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshtarne Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmulitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yatapadakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tang Sajivam Chadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Sham Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Pray Vancha kalpataruvyascha kripa sindhuvya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in yesterday's verse, Prabhupada referenced that verse from the Padma Purana, Dalbhuta Sargalokismin Deva Surya Evacha. Vishnu Bhakti Smarid Daiva Asura Yadvapariyaha. So this verse is saying that within this entire universe, there are only two classes of living entities, the devas and the asuras. So how to distinguish one from the other? A deva is one who is a devotee of Krishna, or of God, you could say, God conscious. And the demon is just the opposite number. In other words, if you're not God conscious, you're a demon. So here we have a fight superficially between a demon and a demigod, a deva and an asura, but Vritrasura, the demon is actually a devotee. Here it's said that Indra could not ascertain how did he become a devotee, because he did not externally accept a spiritual master like Prahlad did. Prahlad was born of Hiranyakashipu, the greatest demon ever, but while he was in the womb, he was instructed by Narada Muni, and therefore once he came out, he just kept repeating those instructions that he heard from Narada. But Vritrasura was born out of the fire, huge demon, no reformation, no reformatory processes, no guru initiation, and here he is, a great devotee of the Lord. So Indra is struck with wonder. How is this possible? So it is stated that as the ages progress, you know, we start with Satyayuga, age of religiosity. So in that age, the demons and the demigods live on separate planets. They don't mingle. Then as time progresses, we come down to the Treta Yuga, and in that yuga, the demons and the demigods take birth on the same planets. Then as time progresses, we come to the Dwapara Yuga, they take birth in the same family. And now we come to the Kali Yuga, the demon and the demigods take birth in the same body. In other words, we're all mixed at best. We have some demoniac tendencies and some deva tendencies. Asuric and daivic tendencies. So, by the efforts of pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, even though we were born in such mixed situation, Varna Shankara, still we're given an opportunity for purification. But we have to guard against the demoniac, asuric side of our nature. We know it's there. If we read the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita especially, we know what are the symptoms, the characteristics of a demon, of the asuric mentality. And therefore we have to very, very carefully guard against this. Very, very carefully. Although externally, Vritrasura is a demon, internally he's not, he's a devotee. So we can't judge by the external. Some people want to be able to do that, that if you're born outside of this particular country, then you're automatically an asura, and you can never become daivik in this lifetime. You have to take birth again. So this is not supported by the Shastra, definitely not by Vaishnava Shastra. Vaishnava Shastra say no, that the, as Prabhupada quoted that verse yesterday from the prayers of Shukadeva Goswami, 4th chapter of the 2nd canto, Kirata hunandra pulina pokasha abhir shumba yamana kashadaya yene chapapa yadapasha yashaya shudyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. That no matter where you take birth on this planet, there are so many different tribes, races, ethnic groups, they're all listed there in that verse. The Kiratas, the Hunas, the Huns we know from Europe, pulinda pokasha, these are from the Asia, the Kasha race, these are the Orientals, these are all listed there in that verse. So no matter where you take birth, for sure, outside of Veda culture, but still, by the power of the devotees, because the devotees are sheltered under the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, they have the power to reform anyone. Anyone, from any society, no matter what they look like, or whatever their former habits were, they can be reformed. But, so we're in that category of people who were born from outside the Veda culture, but even so-called inside the Veda culture now, meaning India, they're also contaminated very, very heavily, so. So, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, everybody's born Shudra or less in Kali Yuga, and so reformatory processes are required. As a matter of fact, it's stated that in any so-called Brahminical family where the Garbhadhan Sanskara is not observed, which means that sex life is not engaged in secret, the Brahmin is supposed to announce publicly that my wife and I are now going to try to conceive a child. This is part of the Garbhadhan Sanskara ceremony. So in ISKCON in the early days, we were trying to follow this. And whenever the householders wanted to conceive, they would tell the temple president. Did anybody ever tell you, Samas? And the temple president was supposed to go and give his blessings before the act took place. I think gradually over time that has disappeared. But the point was that it's not supposed to be engaged in secret. We're supposed to engage in sex life for procreation only, and we're supposed to announce, yes, now my wife and I will try for a child. And so this is Vedic culture. But that practice is gone. Everywhere. So everybody's born Shudra or less. If the Brahmana does not observe that, he is automatically disqualified from his Brahminical position. That's the statement of the Shastra. So if we call ourselves Brahmanas, and we're not following these principles, so we're something else. So, in this Kali Yuga again, within the same body is a demon and the demigod. Mostly demoniac, because we're conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance. Very, very few people have even a tinge of goodness. So we have to guard against these demoniac tendencies. So what is this? Krishna gives a long list in the 16th chapter. But the verse I wanted to concentrate on today, here's a list, long list from text 13 through 15 of the 16th chapter. And this is the demoniac mentality Krishna is describing. So he says, so much wealth do I have now, and I will gain more according to my scheme. So much is mine, and it will increase in the future more and more. He is my enemy, and I've killed him, and my other enemies would also be killed. I am the controller. I am perfect. I'm happy. Right? Siddham. Ishwaraham ahang bogi. I'm the enjoyer. Siddham. I am perfect. Balavan. I'm powerful. Sukhi. I'm very happy. There's none so rich as I am, surrounded by aristocratic relatives. It's stated there, right? He says, I will give some charity. So just giving in charity alone does not make you a good person, because the demons are also thinking like that. I will give in charity, and in this way I will enjoy. So these are the demoniac tendencies that we have that we should guard against. This desire to accumulate wealth, it's actually demoniac. It's actually demoniac. Everything already belongs to Krishna. And the principle for the devotee is, whatever Krishna gives me, whatever comes easily, by my, yes, you have to make endeavor. It's not that we sit back, like Krishna, Prabhupada said, Krishna never told Arjuna, you sit down and smoke ganja and I will go and fight this war for you. No. He was inducing him, fight. I want you to fight. But while we're fighting or struggling, whatever, to maintain ourselves in this world, we should take whatever comes naturally, easily. If we are over-endeavoring for money, this is one of the enemies of advancement in devotional service. Rupa Goswami informs us in the Upadeshamrita. Atyahara prayasascha, pajalpo niyamagraha. These are the things that are against or slow down our devotional progress. And one of them is this atyahara, trying to gain more than we require. It's not the devotee mentality. This is the maniac mentality. So, we should guard against this. Yes, we may have plans, especially we're in the household or ashram, we have plans to maintain the household, to make some money, but whatever comes naturally, without too much endeavor. Meaning, whatever does not take us away from our devotional practices. We see too often that devotees, yes, they get married and they have to get a job to maintain their griha, but you should not become so absorbed in the struggle for maintenance that you can't chant your rounds nicely, you can't come to the program at all, ever. We have. Many like fall in that category. They're so absorbed in trying to make it in this world that you don't see them anymore, even though they may be living close by. So that means over-endeavoring. One should continue one's spiritual practices. When it comes to chanting rounds, Prabhupada suggested, if you cannot chant all 16 rounds nicely in the morning, then he said, try to chant at least half, or at least four. And then, general tendency is most people eat 3 times a day. So then before each meal, chant another 4 rounds. And then in this way, you'll finish the 16 rounds, right? Chant 4 first thing in the morning before you go to work. Chant 4 rounds before lunch. 4 rounds again before your evening dinner. And then you have 4 rounds to finish before bed, like that. So in this way, anybody with a little bit of determination can finish their 16 rounds every day. What to speak of following the principles. We know how important association is. By associating with non-devotees, one's consciousness becomes gradually deteriorated. Or even by improper association with devotees. So one has to be very, very careful about association. Who you associate with and in what manner. There was a case in Florida once where there was a devotee working in a business, and the fellow employees had this habit of plastering the walls with all kinds of pornographic images. So he complained to the management. And at first, they made fun of him. What are you, like some kind of weird gay person? And he said, no, according to my religious principles, you know, I don't want to look at these images. So they didn't comply, and he took them to court, and he won. They were forced to take down those images. So this is also association. What you surround yourself with in your workspace or your home space or whatever space you occupy, that also is part of your association. So if you're working in an environment where this kind of thing is going on, if you can't change it, then you may have to change occupation or change your job, your employment. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we are responsible for flying our own plane. Prabhupada said, I can instruct you how to fly the plane, but ultimately you have to take the controls. So at the end of the day, when end of life comes, we can't blame anybody else if we did not make enough progress spiritually. We have nobody to blame but ourselves. If we understand the importance of what we're doing, if we understand what we have been given that we can achieve in this lifetime, if we take that seriously, then we guard our consciousness. We guard our bhakti kripa very, very jealously and carefully. We don't allow people to trample on it. We don't allow circumstances to bulldoze our bhakti kripa. So this demoniac mentality was absent from Prithvasura, even though he was born in a demoniac, or supposedly a demon. He was born in this body, appeared in this demoniac body. He had devotional tendencies. He wanted to go back to Godhead. But Indra, on the other hand, even though he's counted as a devotee, because anyone who accepts the supremacy of God is a devotee of sorts. There are 3 broad categories. There's the Kanishtha Adhikari, the Madhyama Adhikari, and the Uttama Adhikari. Now, it's not that you just jump from being a Kanishtha Adhikari, a Prakriti Bhakti, to becoming a Madhyama, or jump from the Madhyama to... It's a continuum. Gradually, consciousness evolves. As we hear and chant, associate properly, the consciousness evolves from the Kanishtha stage, Acharya Evam Haraye Puja Kya Chandadeyate, Natat Bhakteshu Chanyeshu Sabhakta Prakrita Smritaha. This is the definition of a Prakrita or Bhakta or Kanishtha Adhikari. One who sees the deities, comes to the temple, worships the deities very nicely, but does not know how to associate with or distinguish amongst devotees. This is a Prakrita Bhakta, materialistic devotee. And obviously full of material desires, comes to the deity to pray for, you know, health and wealth and this and that, and not for pure devotional service. So, Prakriti Bhakta. But by associating with more advanced devotees, gradually, the Prakriti Bhakta becomes a Madhyama Adhikari. Ishvare Tadadineshu, Balisheshu, Dusachasa, Prema Maitri, Kapopiksa, Sa Yakkaroti Samajama. The Madhyama Adhikari is that person who makes these four distinctions. Ishvare sees God, Krishna, and worships Him. Tadadina literally means the paraphernalia of the Lord. So the devotees are considered the Lord's paraphernalia. And just like we're very careful with the Lord's paraphernalia when we're scrubbing and washing and cleaning, similarly we have to be very careful how we associate with the devotees because they're Krishna's paraphernalia. So one sees the devotees, the second category, and associate with them in a friendly way. Very friendly way. Being very tolerant because inevitably they're going to be, you know, misunderstanding. Somebody may step on your toes in the kirtan, whatever. There's going to be some... But you have to be very tolerant because you're dealing with Krishna's paraphernalia. So Ishvara Tadadina Balisheshu. And then the innocent, persons who have not been given a chance to hear and chant Hare Krishna, which is the vast majority of the public. So we go out and we approach them with kripa, with mercy. Again, the devotee doesn't feel like, now I'm going to go out and be merciful. I'm going to show somebody a book or give them. No, the devotee doesn't feel like that. As a matter of fact, we don't feel at all that we're even preaching. Prabhupada made that clear himself one day when the devotee was saying to one of his disciples, was saying to Prabhupada that, you know, Srila Prabhupada, when I preach, and Prabhupada said, what do you mean when you preach? I'm preaching and you're helping me. Don't forget that. So this is our mentality. We think now we've taken to Krishna consciousness, we've read the Bhagavad Gita a couple of times, now I'm a preacher. No, the devotee never feels like that. Srila Prabhupada is preaching and we're helping him. We're his assistants. We're trying to be his assistants. Assistants of his assistants. Servant of the servant of the servant. Huh? Majanmanam palaminam nam param budhama mad pratinaya yananuga eva hesha brichasya bricha paracharya ka brichasya bricha itimang smara lokanatha. This is how the devotee prays. That my dear Lokanath Krishna, the perfection of my life, majanmanam palaminam na param. He says, the highest perfection of my life is if you would consider me to be the servant of the servant of your servant. This is the perfection of my life. So this is how devotees think. Not that I am a big preacher and I'm going to go out and save the world. And no, this is Maya. The Acharya is preaching and we're helping him. So, Ishvara Tadadineshu Balisheshu Dusachacha Prema Maitri. Then the fourth category is the demon, the demoniac. Those who are opposed to Krishna consciousness. Those who are opposed to God consciousness. Even though they claim to be, like they do so many surveys all the time. How many people believe in God? And you're generally in excess of 90%. At least here in America, claim that they believe in God. But if you look at their habits, if you look at their activities, demoniac, animal slaughter, demoniac. You can't be a lover of the father if you hate the other children of the father. It's not possible. It's just like in your family. If you go to your father and say, you know, Dad, I love you very much, but you know, this child that you gave birth is just a nuisance. Not very smart and always bothering me. Can I just kill him? What is your father going to say? You're a nut. Get out of here. So it's like that. These people claim to love God, but they're just nuts. Demoniac nuts. Killing wantonly. No reason. No reason at all. Because one can exist very nicely, as we all know, on a nice, pure vegetarian diet. It's not necessary. Most of us, at least the senior devotees here, have been vegetarian for going on 40 years, and there's no loss of mental acumen. There's no loss of physical strength even, especially if you do a little yoga and like that, you know, keep your health together. So there's no loss. There's no necessity to kill the animals. But just out of ignorance and I was told that once one devotee approached Mother Teresa, as we say in English, Teresa, as I say in Spanish, you know, famous for being so magnanimous and feeding so many people and helping so many poor people, and brought up this question to her that, you know, you're feeding children nicely, but you're giving them animal flesh, which is bad karma. And she got angry. Doesn't want to hear. So that means demoniac. Even though celebrated as such a highly religious person and very generous, magnanimous, demoniac. If you didn't know and now somebody's telling you, if you're actually innocent, then you listen. At least you try to understand. Yeah, you're right. It's not necessary to kill animals. People can live so nicely, and people have been doing it for thousands and thousands of years in India especially. But she was in India, a Westerner in India, feeding them meat, and she didn't want to hear about the vegetarian approach. So that means demoniac. We have to speak frankly. That's a demoniac person. So we have to guard against, yes, we may be vegetarian, yes, we may be reading Bhagavad Gita, but undoubtedly, until we get to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, here it's stated in today's verse, the Lord is always situated on the platform of pure goodness. So until we also get back to that platform, we have to guard against being dragged down by the demoniac tendencies, especially, this is Kali Yuga, where we're surrounded by. Kali means that age where these things proliferate. Meat eating, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. That's the age of Kali. And this happens gradually, again, starting from the Satya Yuga, the age of religiosity, gradually these pillars of religion get broken. So in Kali Yuga, you can maybe find a little bit of truthfulness. Maybe one or two honest people left. Otherwise, everything is gone. All religious sentiment, real religion, which means, again, mercy, truthfulness, austerity, cleanliness. These are the pillars of real religion. And those pillars are broken in Kali Yuga. So the only way to revive real religion is through this Harinam. And therefore, Lord Rama says, he recites, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Iti pung sarpata Vishnu bhaktisthen navalakshana. No, wrong verse. What's that verse? Iti shodashaka nabnam, kalika nashanashanam, nata parasopaya sarvavedeshu jushyate. Thank you. Yes. You cannot find, if you examine all the Vedic literature, any other process that has the power to kalmashanashanam, to break this grip that Kali has on everybody. Because in Kali Yuga, again, even the so-called sophisticated, so-called aristocratic, so-called intelligent people, they all do these four things. Intoxication, meat eating, gambling, illicit sex. So Kali has a grip on everyone. And the only way to break that grip in Kali Yuga is to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we can stop here. Any questions? Jai, Granta Rashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.